Hello, hello. Welcome back to Mastering the Menopause Transition Summit. I'm your host, Dr. Sharon Stills. Nice to see you all here. Oh, these conversations have just been amazing, and we're getting ready to have another one. I have a fellow naturopathic physician on today, and two naturopaths can't get together without talking about the liver and stress and the impact it has on your hormones. And liver health is so, so important. My patients know if you come in and you're going on hormones, you're going on liver support, or your hormones are not being given to you. We will hold back hormones if you don't refill your liver supplements. And so this is a really, really important talk. We're going to talk about the impact of emotions. As you know, they have a strong impact. And so I'm super thrilled to have Dr. Amit with me here today. He was voted one of the top 43 naturopathic physicians worldwide. He helps thousands of people around the world heal from trauma and anxiety and depression and chronic disease. He combines naturopathic, functional medicine, and things that I love, like Gestalt psychotherapy and family constellation therapy. If you don't know what that is, you're gonna know because it's one of my favorite things. I'm so excited to talk about that. He does EMDR. We're going to talk about homeopathy. He has free online courses and books. He's just a real wealth of knowledge. And so we're really blessed and honored to have him here today. So welcome to the summit.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, everyone. Yeah, today we're going to take a deep dive into liver health and why it's so important, not only for hormones and menopause, but also for gut health, chronic disease, anxiety, depression. We'll cover the whole spectrum. Then I'll go into some homeopathy as well for your liver, including all the herbs and supplements. We'll talk about that. And then family constellations, how ancestral trauma and family trauma affect your emotions and your health and what you can do about it to release those entanglements so that your physiology changes, your mental health changes, and your hormones improve as well. Mm. And some more homeopathy, some more emotional healing, and hopefully some other insights to get you healthier.
Let's do it. Let's dive in. The liver.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the liver is the master organ. Yeah. It's called the general in traditional Chinese medicine. It controls almost every function in your body, right? From liver, from detoxifying all the junk in your blood, helping with digestion. The bile salts actually kill off bad bacteria in your gut and improve the health of the good bacteria and your gut health. And so a lot of people make a mistake of only taking probiotics and changing their diet to reduce inflammation, right? They're all talking about leaky gut. And they get disappointing results because sometimes they forget to heal their liver, right? And so what happens is if you have like inflammatory foods and too much antibiotics and poor gut health because of an imbalance of good bacteria, then yes, you can remove the inflammatory foods. Yes, you can eat the probiotics, the vitamin D, the glutamine, and all those other amino acids that help repair the gut lining. But then bile flow from a healthy liver, good bile flow kills off bad bacteria, improves the microbiome, so your good bacteria actually flourish, right? Bile flow is super important to help digest the right nutrients and break down fats as well, so you can absorb them, which is very important for hormonal balance. Bile flow also removes or reduces constipation. So a lot of people are taking laxatives, right? Or they have lots of gas and bloating, and they're taking enzymes, they're taking probiotics, but they're not getting enough bile flow going. They're not healing the liver, right? So healing your liver is super important. We're going to go into a few remedies that I cover in my online course. And then, of course, your liver controls hormones as well. A lot of people think it's only the ovaries or the adrenal glands or the testes, but your liver is the master controller of hormones. So if you're around menopause or you're suffering from PMS symptoms or you're perimenopausal, most clients I find are actually who have either the hot flashes, vaginal dryness, the hormonal imbalances, the clotting, the cramping, the breast tenderness, and mood disorders as well, whether it's anxiety, sadness, weepiness, around menses or towards menopause, often have a liver imbalance combined with inflammation, of course, right? Mm-hmm. And whether it's a progesterone deficiency, estrogen dominance, or an imbalance of both hormones, right? The liver, 90% is involved, right? combined, of course, with adrenal burnout, stress, and fatigue, which we're going to talk about that in healing emotional trauma and your nervous system for hormonal health. But if you think about it, if the liver is the master control of hormones, if your liver is stagnant from too many toxins, right? Alcohol, birth control pill, pesticides in the food, too much medication, stress as well, because stress actually goes to the liver and compacts it, you get liver stagnation. So then you have less bile flow, so poor digestion and an unhealthy microbiome, poor hormonal balance. So your clearance and your metabolism of estrogen and progesterone is affected, right? And so you might even get more harmful estrogens forming rather than the good estrogens, yeah, making some people more susceptible to cancers. If you have a very low progesterone level or a progesterone deficiency, what happens is, of course, you'll get the PMS symptoms and you might get a lot of anxiety, because progesterone, healthy levels of progesterone help GABA, the anti-anxiety neurotransmitter, work better in the brain. And so when you're low in progesterone, GABA doesn't work so well in the brain. So then you're going to get the insomnia, the anxiety, and that's all compounded with all the breast tenderness you might get, or hot flashes, whatever is going on, right? So it's super important to have a healthy metabolism of your hormones. And that comes through liver support, not by just using progesterone creams and estrogen creams and, you know, taking ashwagandha or shatavari and all these adrenal herbs, which I love and I always include them. But if you ignore the liver, you're putting a bandage solution and you're actually creating too much heat in your body. Yeah. What do I mean by that? So in Chinese medicine, in Ayurvedic medicine, we talk about the body having nice flow of energy. And sometimes there's too much coldness, too much dampness, too much heat. If your liver is stagnant, you are susceptible to more heat. So now you add adrenal tonics, right, to support hormone function and hormone production. Those are heating. So you create more stagnation in the liver, right? And after a while, it doesn't work, or you get breakout of pimples or anxiety or insomnia. However, once you flush the liver and your body's more into balance, then the adrenal herbs, the hormone balance herbs, work 10 times better, because the whole flow of meridians, of detoxification pathways, of metabolism, hormone metabolism is working well, and you're not stuffing hormones into a block system. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go through some of the remedies we use.
I love that you bring that up, because liver stagnation is such a huge issue. And I always have patients check four gates, and these are the points. Oh, let's see, we can do this in here between your thumb and your first finger. And I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be kind of, I don't know how I'd get my foot up there.
Well, basically between your big toe and your second toe. Yeah.
It's the same place. And so, and if you just even push in those places, usually, you jump because it's so tender, because your liver energy is stagnant. And bringing up the point of how different herbs have different energetics. And so we need to be thinking about that. We talk a lot about eating seasonally. So I'm here in Arizona. We're having a cool front. It's only going to be 95 today. But when it's this hot out, it's good to do cooling things for the body, just like, but when it's winter in New York, where I'm from, not such a good time to be eating smoothies. And the same thing goes for herbs and what we take. Certain herbs have energetics. And so it's really important to take that into consideration. I think as naturopathic physicians, we are the ones who really pay attention to that with our training in traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurveda and so forth. So tell us some of your favorite liver remedies. What can the ladies who are listening do?
Okay, so I combine liver herbs and homeopathics for the liver to get a better detox, okay? I cover most of them in my online course. I'm going to give you a link for the free videos there. But what I often start with is bitter foods. Yeah, first we do a diet and then we bring in the herbs and the medicine, right? Because if you're having an inflammatory diet, you know, too much gluten, too much dairy, you're going to create inflammation in your gut, right? And that inflammation then goes and stagnates your liver. right? So even if you're taking liver herbs and you're having inflammatory foods, you're not going to win. You're not going forward. So of course, having low inflammatory foods is the first step for healing your liver, and then repairing the gut. And I talk about it in the course as well, but basically using probiotics, certain amino acids, vitamin D, and other herbs and supplements. And then introducing bitter foods like rocket, which is arugula. In Kenya or in the Indian culture, we use something called karela, which is bitter gourd. Mm-hmm. Dandelion root is excellent for the liver. Dandelion greens is mostly for the kidneys. So you want the root for the liver, right? So anything bitter tasting, that's not poisonous, of course. And then I'll add turmeric to the cooking, because turmeric is an antioxidant as well. And it helps, and your liver, remember, your liver is processing a lot of toxins. So it's exposed to oxidative damage. So you need antioxidants to combat the oxidative damage. And that's where, you know, selenium, well, first of all, the turmeric is there. Then you have the bitter, the berries, and the colorful berries. Hopefully they're organic without the pesticides that are causing more liver damage, right? The berries are high in the vitamin A and C, and your bioflavonoids, which are important antioxidants, of course, for your liver. And then you can add vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E in small amounts, yeah, because those are also antioxidants. I love using milk thistle. Milk thistle is my favorite go-to herb for the liver. I often find myself using the tincture more than the tablets. It seems like the tincture is more bioavailable. But those who have a history of alcoholism or who cannot take alcohol, then of course you want to use the powdered herb. And that's where homeopathy comes in. Now, homeopathy goes beyond herbs. Homeopathy is an energetic form of medicine. And homeopathy takes detoxification to another level at a very deep, deep cellular level. Remember, herbs work on the physiological level and there's an energetic level as well. Homeopathy, because it's very diluted substances and working at a purely energetic level, they stimulate the actual functions of the cells to change. Yeah, the whole inner design and the whole inner intention of your cells begins to shift towards a much healthier vibration. And with that healthier vibration, your liver cells and the rest of your body is able to easily let go of toxins. Versus without homeopathy, if you're only using herbs or you're only using certain supplements, there's still this tightness, energetic tightness that, and this control that's going on in the liver cells. They're not really ready to let go because of cellular memory, deep impacted toxins that cannot get out from deep inside the cells. So you need the homeopathy to improve liver detox at a different level.
So do you use constitutional remedies, or are there certain homeopathics that the audience listening could try?
Good question. So in homeopathy, sometimes we tend to use constitutional remedies to cover the whole person, but some of those constitutional remedies are not necessarily liver focused. There are liver focused remedies that I use, including, so Nux Vomica is one of them. Nux Vomica is great if you have constipation and, you know, your poop comes out like little sheep pellets. Lycopodium, because remember, constipation is often a lack of bile flow. And Nux Vomica I often use also to detox from alcohol poisoning or excessive drugs, etc. Lycopodium is great when you have too much gas, bloating, right? Or you have this, you're hangry, meaning you get emotionally upset when you're hungry and your feelings get better when you eat. I've often used lycopodium as well to help certain people with blood sugar imbalances as well, mm-hmm. right? And people going into menopause will often have a combination of liver issues. Sometimes a decrease in estrogen has also been correlated to fatty liver disease. They're wondering which one comes first, but also the insulin resistance that happens around menopause, right? You want to make sure insulin is working well, your pancreas are working well. Lycopodium is excellent for both liver and pancreas.
So can we actually step back for 1 minute? Because I'm just sitting here thinking, we're talking about homeopathy, but maybe some of the women listening don't even really know what homeopathy is, or homeopathy has kind of out in the media gotten a bad rap and a lot of people are now afraid of it. So maybe you could just explain, because I love homeopathy and the bad rap is wrong. So maybe you can just explain what is homeopathy for those listening who aren't quite sure.
Absolutely. So homeopathy is a system of medicine developed by Dr. Samuel Hahnemann a while ago. I can't remember if it was the 18 or 1900s. Basically he found that if you use a small amount of a substance, right, the very small amount of that substance, it stimulates an energetic change in a person, right, that basically is the opposite or the healing movement of what a toxin would create in a person. What do I mean by that? So first of all, homeopathic medicines are created by taking a substance from nature, either mineral, plant, or animal secretion, diluting it multiple times so you don't actually have the original substance left. You have the vibrational memory of the substance. And because it's vibrational, it has the opportunity to work deeper into your body, number one, right? Because we are vibrational. Our emotions are vibrational. And matter is formed from energy. Right. So first is vibration and sound, and that condenses into matter. So our design comes from vibration and information. Yeah. And then we formulate the physiology and our body structure. And supplements and medicines stay at the physical structure, but we need things to shift the design behind the physical mass, right? The vibration of us. And that's why homeopathy is powerful, because it can go to that level, to the vibrational level. And therefore the physiological design changes.
Okay. Yeah. I love to use poison ivy as a, like rust tox is a good example. Like if you go out and touch poison ivy, you get a rash, and it's no fun, right? For those of us that have had poison ivy. But if you take the leaves and you prepare them, dilute them to where there's nothing left. And I know this is like, sometimes you got to do the jump with us now, to where there's just the energetic vibration. So there's no more physical constituent left. It's just the energetic signature. And now if you were to get poison ivy or a rash like it, and you take this energetic remedy, it actually treats it. So it's very opposite our way of thinking, but it's such no side effects. It's such a powerful, simple, I love it for, right? Homeopathy for children, animals. It's so safe for pregnant women, for these situations where you might be nervous to give an herb or something. Homeopathy is such a...
It's much more gentle. It's much more gentle. And those for those struggling with the whole idea of energetics, there's some scientific explanations where when you take a substance and dilute it multiple times, you're diluting, we're made up of water, right? So in our constitution or the polarization of water molecules shifts based on certain disease states. And with homeopathy as well, what happens is they're saying the polarization of those molecules start shifting based on the remedy's signature. So when you introduce a shift of a substance with a polarized shift that matches your disease state polarized shift, there's more of a resonance. And that resonance is what releases the disease or brings about more of a cure. I know that doesn't help. That doesn't dispel the woo-woo myth about it, but homeopathy is the fastest growing or the most used alternative medicine in India, and is growing in Europe, approved by the World Health Organization actually as a medical science as well. So the whole placebo or the putting down of homeopathy usually comes from drug companies who want to make a killing, because homeopathy itself is very affordable, right? So if you're fearing homeopathy or you've heard bad news about homeopathy, really read the literature, because there's also scientific clinical studies showing how effective homeopathy is for inflammation, for diarrhea, for food poisoning, and many alternative centers around the world. Cancer clinics are also introducing homeopathy as part of the treatment protocol.
Yeah, when I traveled to India, and I spent a couple of months there, and it's a common, you go to India, you get Delhi belly, everyone gets sick and don't eat the street food. And you've heard it all. And I just went I brought a few pairs of clothes with me, but I brought mostly just all my remedies. And I was fine. I was the only one in my group who was taking what I was taking. Everyone was sick and I was just fine. And I was eating street food because I'm like, I want to have the full experience. And so it really is powerful and it really does work. And I was thinking about when you were talking how when we were in medical school, we used to take place in provings, and that's how they figure out what the remedy covers, because remedies cover such a wide range of things. You can find someone who's afraid of thunder and lightning, and then it kind of leads you to a remedy that potentially could help them. So it's all these strange, weird things we have. And so when I'm taking a patient's case, I'm always like, tell me everything, even if you think it's weird or not important, it could be
I'm glad you mentioned that actually, because that's very important for listeners to know, is that homeopathy has the power to heal emotions and trauma from the past. So let's talk about that a bit, about how emotions, trauma from the past, and family ancestral trauma can affect your emotions and your emotional state and your transition into menopause. And then I'll talk about a couple of the remedies that I have in the online course as well for trauma and stress, just so you get a taste of what's possible for you.
Awesome.
Should we go there?
Yeah, okay. I think we can leave the liver and go to ancestral trauma, because that is such a huge piece that we don't often, it's not the first we go to, like you said, we go to, let's take a probiotic and get rid of gluten. But these are big pieces that I really want the audience to really say, wow, this is something I need to be thinking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Because healing the emotion goes to healing the root cause, right? You can take supplements your whole life, but if you are stuck at an emotional state or stuck with trauma, then your whole body's vibration, your nervous system is stuck in a response to old trauma, right? And that affects your hormones and your cortisol levels. So let's start with the basics, okay? When you are traumatized, whether it's financial, whether it's sexual abuse, whether it's seeing your parents fighting, divorce, uneasy home, being abandoned, going to boarding school, breaking up with a partner, your body and your nervous system goes into fight or flight response. Right. And when that happens, basically your adrenal glands get affected, right? They make more adrenaline and cortisol to mitigate the stress. And when that happens, of course, you get into a cortisol imbalance. And a cortisol imbalance throws off your other hormones, right? Because cortisol is a hormone and it requires certain nutrients and other hormones to be made. And when you have too much of it, or it becomes imbalanced from burnout, then the other hormone production pathways all start suffering, right? And that will affect your menopause or basically menopause, andropause, whatever. Now, the thing is, when we go through trauma, it's stuck in our nervous system, right? A lot of people think they're over trauma, but their fight or flight response is wired into their physiology. So suddenly they see a certain kind of person or something that reminds them of a bullying father or a bullying mother or some form of abuse, they feel that charge, they get charged, right? They're affected deeply by it because it's going into the nervous system to that old memory that hasn't been healed, right? And so as we go through life, yeah, small stresses and big stresses trigger those old wounds and they fire up the adrenal glands. And they contribute to these adrenal glands overworking. So there's present day stress that burn out adrenal glands, and also the unhealed trauma from childhood that are contributing to adrenal burnout. Yeah. Then we go into adrenal burnout, and therefore you get the cortisol imbalance, and then you get the hormonal imbalances, and you also have the reduction of serotonin, dopamine, GABA, melatonin, right? Which then contributes to anxiety and depression, right? So trauma, unhealed trauma, goes and affects the hormones as well as mental health. Then you have all the inflammation from a toxic liver, from a leaky gut, etc. The chronic inflammation also stresses your adrenal glands to make cortisol, because cortisol is anti-inflammatory. So you got emotional, unhealed emotional trauma, life stresses, and inflammation all pushing on the adrenal system and your hormonal, basically, organs. So everything just gets wiped out, right? The physical stuff, the foods, etc., the inflammatory foods, and the emotions both affect your cortisol levels, and therefore your mental health and hormones. So it's important to heal the mind and body together rather than separately. That's super important. A lot of people focus only on the mind, right? They'll do therapy, etc., but they don't heal the inflammation in the liver. And some people, they're into probiotics, like you said, liver detox, and adrenal supplements, but they're not healing the unhealed trauma. And so homeopathy and family constellations and the other things I practice, like Gestalt therapy, EMDR, somatic experiencing, all of these have the ability to heal trauma, nervous energy, stuck memories in your nervous system. So in the online course, I cover a lot of homeopathic remedies for trauma and anxiety and depression because of the importance of healing trauma. Yeah. Remedies, some remedies include Ignatia, for example. Ignatia and Mara, great remedy for, you know, breakups, a sense of betrayal, this sense of lump in your throat, wanting to cry, not knowing how, and you have this nervous energy or this anxiety, right? Sense of unsafety. Another remedy I talk about is Natrum Muriaticum. Excellent as well for breakups as well and loss of a loved one. Natrum Muriaticum has more of a depressive picture compared to Ignatia. Natrum Muriaticum might be more withdrawn, a lot of sadness, crying when you're on your own, maybe some resentment and lack of trust in people, right? It's a great remedy when there's been issues with your mother as well, lack of connection with mother or abandoned by your mother, yeah, or loss of a partner. Aurum Metallicum, excellent as well for ailments since you've had a failure in life, a lot of guilt, maybe suicidal thoughts, excessive praying. So these are some examples of the remedies that one can use. I also cover Bach flower remedies. Bach flower remedies are excellent for healing emotional trauma and this whole spectrum of emotions. Many people use something called a rescue remedy. I use that very often to help people come over a shock or some sort of grief. Why is this important to overcome shock and grief? It's because it resets the nervous system from that fight or flight state. You want to get that nervous system calming down so that when you do bring in the adrenal herbs, they work much better rather than the nervousness using up the adrenal herbs. You know, when if you're stuck with nervousness in your design, in your vibration, you're going to burn through adrenal herbs very fast and they're not going to work so effectively, right? Or you might feel triggers. So some people feel really anxious with the B vitamins, for example. Right? Or rhodiola will give them anxiety because their nervous system has not been healed at an emotional level. Yeah. So they get triggered by herbs. So the healing of the traumas is super important. And when you heal traumas as well, I often find that food sensitivities go down because sometimes when we're traumatized, we're eating certain foods around that time. So our body, our physiology has an association of trauma and that certain food. So we become a bit nervous when that food is reintroduced into our body. Okay. In addition to homeopathy, yeah, sorry, you were going to say something.
I just said such a good point about the trauma and the food. And I love those remedies you mentioned. They're such, they're such beautiful remedies. And I do think if it's something that calls to you, you could, there's a lot of good resources online and you could look if you've just lost someone. Ignatia can be such a powerful, and it's not going to really hurt you, but if you don't, it's always good to work with a professional and really understand.
Absolutely. It's important.
And homeopathy though is the opposite. Like if you take a herb and it helps, we want to take it more and more. But if you are feeling sad and you take a remedy and it releases the emotion, then you don't necessarily need to take the homeopathy again because the remedy is working, the vibration is shift. So there's, but it's a beautiful, beautiful piece to have. I'm so happy that you're bringing it up. So
homeopathy is super important. And then I combine the homeopathy, of course, with more trauma release and emotion release. That's either EMDR, which is eye movement and desensitization, somatic experiencing, another great trauma therapy. Gestalt psychotherapy, of course, working on childhood traumas, adulthood traumas, belief systems, negative beliefs, because negative beliefs also create stress in our mind, how you relate to yourself, how you talk to yourself, how you relate to others, yeah, and your living conditions, all those contribute to the stress in your life and don't give a chance for your body to really heal at the deeper level, physical level, hormonal level, mental level. And now we can talk about family constellation therapy and sexual trauma, just before we finish. So If this is all confusing, by the way, Sharon, I just want to let people know there are free videos on my website. They can walk through healing the gut, the liver, and there's an emotional healing exercise. Yeah, and more about family constellations there. But let's go to the basics, okay? Family constellation therapy developed by Bert Hellinger. It's basically a type of therapy that's exploding all over the world with the realization that there's certain orders of love in all family systems, in all systems, including organization systems. What does that mean? So often in families, in many families, not necessarily your nuclear family, but in the expanded family, there is sometimes abortions or miscarriages or people who are forgotten, not mentioned, the black sheep of the family, the murderer, the victims of war, or the Nazi grandfather. These people are often excluded. Yeah. And that exclusion creates a gap in the energetics of a family. Yeah. It creates a certain depression that's passed on generation to generation. And they've done studies where they've shown that trauma from one generation is passed down through generations through the study of epigenetics. So our genes change, right? So if your grandmother was in the war, her cortisol levels were very different. Yeah, she went through a lot of fight or flight, and that changed her physiology. And even the eggs she was carrying in her ovaries started to shift, right? The genetics start to shift. So your mom obviously is born with an altered physiology based on your grandmother's experiences. And then you are born of your mother. So your physiology has changed as well, right? And so you can see how trauma from previous generations is passed down genetically, but also energetically and emotionally. And so that's one example of an exclusion. And then in many families, let's say there's abusive parents, the child will often side with the victim parent, right? They'll side with the suffering mother, right? Or the neglected mother, and reject the father or blame the father. Now, two things are happening. One is you're actually denying your life force, because part of your life force comes from your father, right? And often see people will have low self-esteem and not believe in themselves, but the root cause is actually coming from because they're not taking in life from the father energy. Mm-hmm. And then obviously they start parenting the parent, they're parenting the mother. So they step out of role of their natural child position. And yes, I'm not saying it's wrong to protect a parent, but it becomes chronic. Yeah, you see your parent as weak and you take on this over-parenting role to your mother. So in a way, one, you block off yourself to your natural expression and availability of other partners in your life. And also you feel the sense of over-responsibility and inability to live your life fully. So you're always doing too much in your life, or you're always pleasing people, right? And that comes from early childhood trauma or entanglements with your family members. Okay. And in family constellations therapy, we do healing sentences that really go deep and really heal and release these entanglements, so that your mind, your emotions, and your physiology starts to shift to a healthier vibration. For example, if there is a miscarriage or abortion in your family, if you've had one yourself, you can always acknowledge that child. It's not never too late. You can say, dear child of mine, you know, thank you for coming to my life, even though it was a brief time. I'm sorry things didn't work out the way they did or they were supposed to. Or maybe I respect your fate. I use different healing sentences based on the individual's experience and what actually happened. And the other interesting thing is, if there is a miscarriage or abortion in your family by your parents, and you think you're the firstborn, but really there's a child before you, it's very important to find your true position. You know, you might be the second or third child. Mm-hmm. And recognizing that you're the second or third child will give a lot of ease, calmness, and a break to your nervous system, a pause. Because I often find children who come after aborted or miscarried children, they're carrying the weight of being the first child and they're not. And they're also trying to live the life of the missing child who has not been acknowledged. So you feel overwhelmed in life. You're busy. You're trying to accomplish too much, right? you're not feeling good enough or like you're doing enough in life. Yeah, and they'll go for therapy, they'll go for trauma release, but really the root cause is an entanglement with a missing child or an unspoken child. Yeah, or sometimes the mother is still grieving from the missing child and you're carrying the mother's grief and you can't explain it. Therapy is not working, supplements are not working, homeopathy is not working. So family constellations therapy has the power to really see what the entanglement is. And we do this online, right? We feel the energetics, and you can do it in person as well with a group of people. But once you really see the root cause and you heal it, your healing goes to another dimension. You need less supplements, you need less medication, you need less therapy over time, because you've released yourself from a belief, a thought, an entanglement, a trauma in the family system that is exhausting your body, exhausting your mind, exhausting your soul.
I personally, I'll share this part of why I love family constellation work so much is because I had a personal experience with it, because I was the youngest of three growing up. Mm-hmm. But actually, there was a baby who was born before all of us. It was another girl, and she died when she was 6 weeks old. So I had a sister I never knew. And no one ever talked about her. I didn't even know she existed. And my parents, you know, were carrying so much grief, and that generation doesn't do the work. They don't come to summits and learn about processing trauma and all these things. And they just didn't know. I remember I gave my mother Ignatia and all, but it was such a trauma. Just imagine losing your firstborn. And so it wasn't until I found out about this, and then I went for a family constellation session, and this was in person, and we had all the people stand in and become my siblings. And it was such a power. And at the end of the family constellation, it was like I was like on my knees crying, and he had the people who were representing the two brothers I had grown up with and my sister standing behind me as they were my guides and my support. And it changed. Now I have this relationship with this sister I never knew, but she's here and she's with me and she helps. And it was so powerful. And that's why I wanted to include it with everything with patients, because when you have a powerful experience, and just like you said, it like, it's this dimension that just opens up everything. And so sometimes you don't even know what's affecting you, because there's this web of all these people and ancestors you've never met. And you explained it so eloquently how it's just carried in the genetics. And if we, you know, we have our genetics and we have this opportunity to change the way our genetics, epigenetics, how they express, but if we don't even know what's going on, it's hard to shift it. And so just an opportunity to really go back for those of you listening and think about who are the forgotten people, or the, as you said, the children who didn't make it to the earth plane, and acknowledge.
And also the responsibilities you're taking that are not yours, right? So Sharon, thank you for sharing that very touching experience. And I just want to honor that. I also want to mention two important things that happened there when I look at it as a therapist. Three things actually happened there. One is you included somebody who was missing. Number two, you found your correct position as the fourth child or whichever number you are. So something settles in you. You also recognize that part of the grief in the family was belonging to the parents, and it's not your responsibility carried on behalf of your parents. They're the big ones. And the best way to honor parents is to allow them to carry their story, their hurt, their pain as the big ones, so that you can grow up to be a healthier child and have your own fate, your own experiences. So those are three healing movements, yeah, that happen for you in one session. Mm-hmm. And that's the power of constellations, right? And imagine what happens to your physiology, your hormones, your mind, right? And the unexplained anxiety, sorrow, depression, and just emptiness. You feel like you're missing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it really gave me compassion towards my parents, because they were so anxious growing when I was growing up. and so overprotective and so anxious and so anxious. And it definitely changed who I was as I was growing up. But when I finally learned that, I had this deep compassion that, oh my God, they were just so worried they were gonna lose me because they hadn't processed the trauma of losing their first baby. And so it really opened my heart towards them rather than being angry.
And you can see you grew up in a home that had lost a child, right? And so you're growing up in a home, in an environment where there's trauma. So how your parents are passing on that trauma emotionally, energetically, because you're picking up on their grief, on their anxiety, right? So you can see how their trauma is actually passed on to you emotionally and energetically as well. There's a beautiful example of the passing of trauma without realizing it being passed on, because we grew up in that bubble of where the trauma happened without realizing it, because it's like normal to you as a child.
And I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm sure a lot of you listening may be grabbing the tissues now and thinking about the things and what affected you. And it's nice to know that this therapy exists, because this is a different way of looking at trauma than just going and sitting and doing talk therapy. It really needs to be shifted. We've been talking a lot. I'm just thinking there's been this whole theme from when we were talking about the liver or herbs or stress or homeopathy. And now it's all energetics.
It's all connected, body and mind.
All connected. Yeah.
You've got to heal the body and mind together.
Yeah, beautiful marriage, right? I always say that. It's like you can't, I think of it, one from column A, one from column B, like we have the mind and we have the body. And when we want to heal, we've got to grab each column and merge them and marry them. And that's how we move forward and take everything with us. It's really a full gestalt experience.
Absolutely.
And I didn't ask you in the beginning, but tell the audience, where are you and what you're doing? Because you're so unique and you went to school in Canada many years ago, but now where are you and what's
I'm in Kenya. I was born in Kenya. I started doing mobile clinics for poor communities using homeopathy. And when people get my online course and my books, it helps me support my community work. At the moment, I'm treating kids living with disabilities who have been abandoned by their communities, mainly the Maasai community. These kids have been seen as a curse. So I'm trying to use homeopathy. Any great homeopaths out there, please come, need your help. All the information is on drameet.com, drameet.com. So that's my work, seeing clients privately online. Treating these kids as well, and just educating people through webinars, through the online course. I'll probably be doing retreats where people can come and be with me in Africa, go on safari and do emotional healing journeys. That's coming up soon.
Ooh, I love
it. So it's like really deep inner work and having a good, healthy holiday at the same time. And I'll probably be doing also live events online where people can log in once a month and work with me in a group. So watching other people heal will raise your emotional intelligence and touch healing traumatized parts in you that need to be healed. So you will heal by watching other people heal, and you'll also have a chance to work with me personally in some of these sessions.
I think that's such another really good point you brought up, because when you do family healing constellation, even if it's not you, but you're participating, you're standing in, what we find is that we're all unique and different, beautiful snowflakes, but we're also all human, and we also have all these shared experiences. And it's so easy to see your own pain in someone else, that we all have a lot of similar shared traumas. Mm. That yes, we all, it's a collective healing. It's a beautiful Absolutely. Thing. So, I want to come on safari.
Anytime.
I was telling you before we came on, I was in Tanzania about 5 years ago, and climbed Kilimanjaro actually to celebrate my menopausal transition. I stood on the top of Kilimanjaro to say, "Hey, menopause, I'm coming for you. And this is just the beginning." And then we got to go on safari, which was such a unique, empowering, just lovely experience to be with all the animals and be on the land. So I think I want to come.
Anytime, yeah, we'll combine emotional healing and Kundalini yoga and possibly some nature walks and whatever is necessary, I guess, for your full experience.
Fantastic.
And of course, healthy food.
Yeah. just say the name of your website again for those who want to find it.
It's drameet.com, drameet.com. Yeah. And you can get this free online course that covers how to heal your gut, your liver, adrenal glands. And there's a beautiful emotional healing exercise actually that helps you really heal your negative beliefs about your vulnerability. So you can go there and really feel comfortable with the whole spectrum of emotions. Mm-hmm. And then there's the full online course, which covers all my protocols, like homeopathics for the liver, homeopathics for anxiety, depression, trauma, gut healing protocols, liver detox healing protocols, the adrenal herbs I use as well, and a whole bunch of emotional healing exercises, like very, very special emotional healing exercises that I've developed. And of course, some that are common out there that go from childhood to present, so that, you know, just to help you become more emotionally resilient and cleaner in your emotional vibration and spectrum.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And what important work to be doing for us women as we are traversing the hormonal journey. And it's never too late to go back and reclaim those pieces of yourself and allow healing to occur. So thank you so much for being with us here. I know it's late in Kenya now. It's early here and it's late there. So I appreciate you taking the time to be with us here and share your expertise and bring some really beautiful pieces to the summit that are so, so important. So hopefully see you in Africa soon.
Thank you, Sharon. And thanks everyone for listening. Lots of love to everyone, and really be patient with yourself and be nurturing to your own heart and to your own emotions. Yeah. A lot of people are self-criticizing and blaming themselves and being hard on themselves. And I'm just being channeled right now to speak about this for some reason as we end. So yeah, patience and self-love. Hopefully you can bring that into your journey as well as you look at these courses and the homeopathic remedies I'm mentioning, but really patience and self-love as you're doing the online course as well.
Big hugs to everyone, and hug yourself.
Lots of
and be well, everyone. We'll be back soon. Thanks for being here.